cannot imagine, ladies and gentlemen, that I, Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, have forgotten my place, where I am, in my studies on Daniel. No, even in these sidetracks, I have trapped in my mind the truths which I was regaling you with from the scriptures, which means, of course, that we have not forgotten about poor Nebuchadnezzar, stranded out in the field with Bossy, eating various greens, including romaine lettuce, including kale, possibly some parsley. Maybe they have sawgrass in Babylon, as they have here in Florida. Don't know. We're going to rejoin him in the field. We're going to look at the outcome of that, no doubt. And I understand where I was before that. The sidetrack from there, we diverted into how we are to live in this administration of being under a foreign power. And I told you, bombastically, I told you, daringly, I told you, with every boldness and every seduction of the flesh, I told you that I see a parallel between Jeremiah chapter 29 and Romans chapter 13. So don't think we're not going to return there, because we are. Have not forgotten that. Going to bring you back there, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. And remember what we learned so far. To refresh your memory, don't forget this. Remember what we learned so far from Jeremiah 29. We have learned that when you are surviving in an occupied country, as we are in today, occupied by humans, this place would be a decent place to live if it weren't for all the human beings. You survive by eating salad and having sex. You remember I told you that, taking my clue from the scriptures from Jeremiah 29. Now, those are the easy things. The hard thing is to pray for your enemies. And so I'm going to tell you how to do that practically. But I'm going to go to Romans 12. Believe you me, I am going to go to Romans 12. Now, I'm afraid when I do go to Romans 12, I will not be able to help but continue on, just go helter-skelter right over the chapter heading and get into chapter 13, in which case Nebuchadnezzar might be in that field for seven more seasons, not sure. So let's go back to the atheists, because I love atheists dearly. But I am on record as saying that atheists, I mean, to look at the heavens. A woman I communicated with lately has a garden, and she loves her garden, and she plants it. And maybe she's taking my advice in how to survive a wicked eon, how to survive an occupying power. In any case, she's also an atheist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you this. How can anyone who works in a garden be an atheist? Right? Because, all right, maybe a head of cabbage, that's Satan. That Satan could, head of cabbage, not very beautiful. I was with a guy in Canada who had planted potatoes. And he said, his name was Fred, and he was from Holland. He was living in Canada. He said, I show you my potatoes. Martin, come and see my potatoes. That's my Netherlands accent. I apologize to everyone in the Netherlands for that accent. Come and see my potatoes. So I looked and I said, where are they? You stupid idiot, they're under the ground. I'm looking for the potatoes above the ground. All I see is a bunch of green. You stupid idiot. I don't think he said that. I think he called me a numbnuts. He wouldn't have said stupid idiot. This was a very kind gentleman. He called me a numbnuts. They're under the ground. So anyway, where was I? Does anybody have any idea? Oh, yeah. We were talking about atheists, and I've been on record as saying that atheists, how can you look at the stars? How can you look at the cabbage is out. Cabbage isn't so attractive. Potatoes, no. But when you're in your garden, chances are a monarch butterfly will alight upon your rutabagas, or a fuzzy little caterpillar will be crawling about on a leaf of your potatoes. And the potatoes are in the ground, by the way. Just remember that always, to prevent making a fool of yourself. So how can you look at that and be an atheist? And I am convinced that nobody is an atheist apart from Christianity, apart from religion. Were it not for religion, there would be no atheists. Religion turns people away from God. People are not rejecting the true God. They are rejecting a caricature of God as presented to them by morons of the Christian religion. Sorry, that's a redundancy. Now, let's see, I am reading my article on atheists. No, I did not like this sign. I knew it was wrong. Who is supporting the atheists? If the God's not their support, their own strength, the devil, I wouldn't give either the atheist or the devil that kind of credit. Only the Spirit of God causes anything to live and move. Satan can't create life, and neither can he sustain it, because all is out of God. This is a really good article so far. It's fantastic. Who wrote this? Oh, I did. Okay. Satan can't create life, neither can he sustain it. All is out of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Make note of that. If you get no other nugget of truth from this particular diversion, get this. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all is of God. The creature certainly cannot will itself into life or sustain its life day by day. Scripture says that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. Now, rain in biblical days was a great blessing, especially in a land so dependent upon agriculture. Rain was life. The presence of it even reflected to the people the presence of God. And here's the quote. He causes his sun to rise on the wicked and the good, and he makes it rain on the just and the unjust. For if ever you should love those who are loving you, what wages have you? Matthew 5:45-46. So God loves atheists. And here is a practical example. To take this from the ethereal, theoretical realm and put it down where the rubber meets the road, how about this? He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And then this. For if ever you should be loving those who are loving you, what wages have you? It's no big deal to love people who love you. And yet we give God that characteristic. Not we, not you who are listening to me, but Christians. But religion gives God that characteristic. Because, you know, we're a bunch of projectionists. We follow that hideous psychological crutch projection. We take our own faults, the things we hate about ourselves, and we project them upon God. Well, we only love those who love us. We love our kids, we love those who love us, and we hate those who don't love us, and we assume then because we're like that, then God must be like that. And so this projection is put upon God, verses are twisted to support it, and we have hideous doctrines out there teaching that basically God is a man, he has all the discolored, disjointed, horrible characteristics of man, and we hate him. Because he's a lunatic, just like we are. But it's not the case. Because a form of love is rain. That's what I'm saying. The rubber meets the road here. There's a form of God's love is rain. And he sends it on the just and unjust alike. The reasoning? What's the big deal loving those who love you? He loves those who don't love you. He loves his enemies. Do you think we're going to get to Romans chapter 12? It's all related to Daniel. Because we're looking at loving the unlovable. Today, you're in the midst of an unlovable administration, no matter who's in power. We need to know that God loves the unlovable, and then we're to imitate him, become imitators of God, love your enemies. We're going to get to Romans chapter 12. Back to this amazingly great article. The Apostle Paul testified to this truth as well. Before the philosophers and intellectuals and atheists at Mars Hill, Paul said, I never forget when this verse, when I first saw this verse, blew me away. Thought it was a misprint. This was the biggest thing that jumped out at me of Paul's fabled delivery at Mars Hill. Come on, phone. Come back. Okay, there it is. The Apostle Paul testified to this truth as well. Before the philosophers and intellectuals and atheists on Mars Hill, Paul said, quote, in him we are living and moving and are. That is Acts chapter 17, verse 28. And I said here that that's a big we right there Paul's using. And it illustrates a grand truth. Even atheists are somehow moving in Christ. Right. Paul is addressing atheists. They build pedestals in Athens there back in the day to the unknowable God. And they were superstitious. And they had many gods, some of them, and some of them had no gods at all. And Paul says, in him we, this is a big truth. Hear this truth. In him we are living and moving and are. Now, it doesn't mean that the people who are moving and living in God, which is everyone, it doesn't mean that they are now sons and daughters of God. It doesn't mean that they have that familial relationship, the endearing relationship. In fact, someone just texted me a question yesterday, said, Martin, is everyone eventually going to become a son and a daughter of God? And you know, that was a good question. And I wrestled with it, and I'm still not sure of the answer. But I'll say to you right now, as I'm thinking, that the answer is no. Everyone's going to be go back to God. God is going to be all in all. But this son relationship, this daughter relationship, I don't think everyone has that. No, not even at the consummation. It's special. And so God can be the God of atheists, the God of Bill Maher, and the God of Gloria Steinem. There are Richard Dawkins, these other famous atheists. God, I'm sorry if I'm mistaken that Bill Maher is an atheist. I think he is. God is still their God, whether they know him or not. It doesn't mean they're believers. So this is a grand truth, back to the article. But the church side knew nothing of this monumental truth because the pastor who erected it loved cleverness more than truth. No invisible means of support. Get it? Ha ha. Good one, pastor. If the goal of the pastor was a clever saying, then the pastor succeeded, and my writing is presumptuous. But if the words were meant to reflect scriptural truth, then the pastor tumbles into the abyss of human ignorance. And indeed he does. Ka-pa-pa, ka-pa-pow, into the abyss of human ignorance. This is what church people do for a living. I, on the other hand, make sense for a living. Tomorrow, we're going to continue this thread and going to bring you good news for a change from the Word of God. And here's good news for you. How's this? God loves atheists too.